Hi, this is Bria Barthel for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Today I have the honor of talking with Ellie von Welsheim, who started the Mooncatcher Project out of her home in Schenectady, and it has since expanded to over 59 countries, providing economic development and menstrual supplies for girls and women. So Ellie, if you could tell us a little more about the Mooncatcher Project and what you give to girls to help them.
Well, thank you for having me. And yes, we give a kit, a reusable, washable menstrual kit to girls living in poverty throughout the world, along with a curriculum. We always make sure to give an educational component every time we give out one of these kits. Inside the kit, there is a carrier that holds the pad, and the carrier goes between your legs and then ties around your waist so that there's no need for underwear with our kit. If you happen to have underwear, you just pull it on up over the carrier. But for a lot of these girls, that's a luxury item to have underwear. So we wanted to make sure that they weren't left out. A lot of these pads that people make, which are fabulous, I never want to put down anybody else's product because we need everybody at the table. But a lot of them are made to snap around underwear. Ours don't do that. You don't have to have underwear. In the kit, we give three pads, one to wear, one change into, and one that's drying on the line and ready to put on the next time. We also give a waterproof bag that you can put your used pad into. We say used, we don't say dirty, we don't say nasty, we don't say anything negative. We are trying to change the language of menstruation. We are trying to remind people that this is a beautiful, wonderful thing that happens in order for the human race to continue. And it shouldn't be anything anybody is embarrassed about or ashamed about. So we say used pad.
You talked about education and how you're trying to change the language. I know that you're going into schools and working with girls, but it was interesting to hear also how you're working with boys. Can you tell us something about the educational component of what you're doing beyond just giving the supplies?
Absolutely. So the education is, there's kind of three parts. One is menstrual management, where we teach the girls how to use the kit, how to keep themselves clean, how to take care of the kit. The other part is about reproductive health. So we really explain what's going on in your body. Why is this happening? Why is this a normal thing? And the third part is we teach boys. And we teach boys not only about the changes that are happening in their bodies, but what's happening to girls. Because what we found after years and years of doing this is that boys were teasing girls, humiliating girls. And sometimes these girls were dropping out of school, not because they had no way of dealing with their period, but because a boy had humiliated them and they were just too embarrassed to come back to school. So we wanted to change that. So we wrote a boys' curriculum. And what we found is that boys don't know anything about what's going on. Our education is often the first time they actually hear the truth about why girls have periods. And once they hear that, once they make that connection about menstruation and babies, they begin to understand that, oh, well, let's help these peers of ours, these girl students that are in school with us. And they become part of the solution rather than continuing to be part of the problem. It's been a wonderful thing.
And you mentioned that teachers are very welcoming for your programs and for the products. Can you say a little bit from that end, from the administrative response or the governmental response or other organizations?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, teachers welcome us with open arms. For one thing, they're really happy to have well-educated people come in to teach about this because they don't always know very much about it. They're well-educated in other ways, but this whole thing about menstruation is often a bit of a mystery to them. We get lots of questions from teachers because they're interested in knowing more themselves. And we do teach the teachers to continue teaching the students. So we give them a lot of information that they can hold on to so that when there's questions from those students, there's some continuity. It doesn't just go away when our teachers walk out of the campus. We want the school to continue this conversation. So they're open and so pleased to have us there.
And you had talked about starting sewing cooperatives in different countries and how those cooperatives go beyond the support for making menstrual products to being, it sounds like self-regulating sewing operations where women can make other things for sale to support themselves. Can you say a bit about that, please?
Yes, this is something that we've always encouraged because it's always made us nervous thinking, well, if they're only working for us, then what happens if we disappear for who knows what reason? So we've always encouraged our sewing cooperatives to find other work, but use all the equipment that they have. So sew whatever they can. And we also have one sewing cooperative that has a savings, I don't know what they call it, like a savings bank within their cooperative where they give, every time they get paid by the Mooncatcher Project, they put a percentage of their pay into this box. Each one puts however much they want. And they save up this money to start a new project. Like, you know, one woman was making soap and another one was selling popcorn and another one was selling mangoes on the side of the road, but they had the startup money for that. So in addition to sewing, they had another business that they were growing. And we're just thrilled with this. We just love this idea. And they take care of all of that. We don't have anything to do with it. We're just excited about it and interested in it, but we don't oversee it in any way.
I'm still astonished that something with such an international presence and such a educational component and economic component started with one woman in her basement harassing her daughter to try out a menstrual pad, a reusable menstrual pad. How can people get involved? You did mention that you used to have moonbees. Perhaps you can say more about the various options for how people can get involved.
Well, a moonbee is like a sewing bee, or think about your grandmother's quilting bee. The difference is that we invite men and boys as well as women and girls. It's an opportunity for people to come together to actually work on these kits in the United States. So we have churches and synagogues and all sorts of different places that invite us to come in. They provide the room and the table and the chairs, and we come with the supplies. We ask people to bring their own sewing machines if they sew. You do not have to sew. You don't have to be able to use a sewing machine. You can cut, you can measure, you can pack. There's lots of jobs. And we just divide it all up into what matches your skills. And we make parts, and eventually after enough sewing bees, we have all the parts we need, and then we pack things, and then we send them off to countries where we don't have sewing cooperatives, but we do have schools that need our kit.
Beyond the economic issues, I want to go back a little bit to the political issues. You said that all of this in part is challenging the oppression of women, and that it's allowing girls to stay in school. It's allowing women to get involved with the sewing cooperatives. It's allowing women to start their own businesses. Do you get any resistance from governments or from organizations?
Sure. I mean, there's lots of people in the world that don't want women to be lifted up. But we do find from places like World Bank and, a million different prestigious organizations that have done studies on this. And what they find is when a girl has an education, she marries later, has fewer children, more likely to become financially independent, and is much more likely to teach the children that she chooses to have the importance of education and the importance of community and helping each other. And women have amazing ideas. They have incredible ideas because they are thinking so much about the common good. So educating women and hearing their voices every day of the month is so important. There's places that don't believe this. If you go to Nepal, there's still a practice that's outlawed, but it's still happening, where if you're a menstruating person, you are sent out of the house into a hut during your menstruation because you're considered unclean, dirty. If you touch someone, they believe that you can kill that person, or you can make that person incredibly sick, or you can make the animals sick. You don't want to touch their food. I mean, they really feel like you need to be away from from anybody. So they're out in these little huts. They can't stand up in them. They've got smoke inhalation that's happening that often kills them. You've got men coming to rape them because they know they're easy prey. That's oppression of women. We have to stop that.
So Ellie, I want to thank you for everything you're doing. You bring together so many different aspects of environmental justice, economic justice, women's support. And I love the idea that the menstrual queen in Schenectady, New York, has, through what you call an organic process, managed to become such a presence in so many different ways in so many different countries. It's been great talking with you. Thanks for all your work.
Thank you.